Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lake.
I mean, this is just a pre-recording, but I do slightly need to cough. Is that okay? Should I start again? That's okay, I think. Hey, good show. This podcast hopefully will translate into a great podcast as well, guys. We talk schoolyard legends. There was a kid that ordered a stripper to the school, probably just to impress his mates. I doubt he really had that much of a hankering to see a woman's boobs at that time of the day. I think he was just doing it for a laugh, but we talked about schoolyard legends and if we had like some sort of prankster going on back in your high school glory days. Some pretty funny stories. John Aiken, the relationship expert from Married at First Sight. Not only is he a very smart man with, I believe, multiple degrees in human psychology, he's also got a very chiseled jaw. I couldn't help but get a little sexual with him from time to time. And also, do you tell your new partner your number? Not as in your phone number. I mean, that's obvious. It's in how many people have you slept with. Woo! Find out in the podcast.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
Get this for a story. Officials with a school district said a middle school student is being disciplined after hiring a stripper to perform at the school. Fantastic. Jenny Lacoste Caputo, a spokeswoman for the independent school, said the stripper arrived at the address where she'd been hired to perform about 11:30 a.m. and realised it was Noel Grisham Middle School. The woman called the front office to report the prank and never entered the building. Oh, thank God. I mean, how dumb would you have to be as a stripper if you haven't clued on that this is clearly some sort of schoolboy prank shenanigan? If you, yes, I'm here for my 11:30. Is Michael LaRusso around at all? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's just in maths. He's up the top there in block G5. Go hell for leather. Nah, she's realised it's a prank. She's said at the office, she's like, oh, hey, you know what? I've been stitched up here. Obviously, I'm not going to go stripping in the school, but I've got it from this number. This is the person that did it. School's investigated it, and the student used his personal cell phone to call the agency and paid for the stripper's performance using his parents' credit card. The student's now facing disciplinary action, and you've got to love it when the principal's got called into action. It's like, right, how am I going to play this? Obviously very serious, obviously a very straight bat here. I'll send out an email to all the parents of the school just to make sure that they realise that nothing happened and their school kids aren't coming home from school going, guess what, a stripper came to the school. This is the email. I go, our staff handled the situation with the utmost decorum and professionalism. That was the email to the parents. Whilst regrettable, the incident had no negative impact on any student other than the student who is responsible. And that's the thing. Schoolyard legends. There's a student in every grade, in every school, that's willing to sacrifice their relationship with the people in charge of the school for a stronger relationship with the peers in their grade. They'll do anything. They'll do anything. You can just dare them to do something. And it happens. I remember in grade 7, we dared my best mate during sex ed to ask if you could get pregnant whilst getting done up the bum. And he did it. Just for the lols. The teacher knew straight away. She saw us like whispering in his ear, and we all got in trouble actually because she knew he was quite prone to performing pranks on a whim. And we got in trouble for encouraging it as well. But 13:10:60, let's relive the glory days, guys. Was there someone in your school that pulled some sort of epic prank, some sort of hilarious shenanigan that went down in the schoolyard hall of fame? Something that 20 years later, the alumni and the reunion are still bringing up. Can't remember that day back in grade 10 when Sergeant so-and-so did this and got busted and suspended for 3 weeks. Classic and fun for everyone else involved, though. Sacrifice one to please the whole grade. That's what school's all about. We had a guy in our grade called Leroy. Of course, Leroy was the designated prankster and the guy who didn't care about getting in trouble. Such a rough name. If you're calling your kid Leroy, don't be surprised if he gets suspended in grade 5. This was in grade 11, right? Leroy, the guy who was keen to do anything for a cheap laugh, he was called into action here. There was another bloke called Stuart Hubert. Stuart Hubert, he wasn't the coolest guy, he was all right, but people used to call him Stewie Hooey. And they go up and sort of like give him a little tap on the cheek or say, hey, Stewie Hooey, like give him a nipple cripple, say, oi, Stewie Hooey, what's going on, Stewie Hooey? Stuart Hubert didn't like this one bit, so Stuart Hubert's had some words he wasn't the principal, but sort of the tough teacher, like the guy that was was just a normal teacher, but you didn't want to get on his bad side. You didn't want to get told off by this tough teacher. Stuart Hubert's had words with the tough teacher saying, "Hey, excuse me, mister, all the other kids, they're calling me Stewie Hooey. I really don't like it. If you could just have a word with all the lads and let them know that I'd like to be addressed as my Christian name, Stuart Hubert." So anyway, the big tough teacher comes around and calls all the boys. "Right, grade 11 boys, with me." Went into the assembly hall. "Right, I understand Stuart Hubert has been copping some abuse and some bullying by getting called Stewie Huey." He said, "From now on, no one is to call Stuart Hubert Stewie Huey anymore." Everyone's there, like, sort of looking down, thinking, "Oh, am I guilty? Is this aimed at me? I mean, we've all been doing it a little bit. I feel a bit bad here. Obviously, I won't be saying Stewie Huey ever again on school grounds." And then Leroy, just out of nowhere, without even being dead, I don't think anyone even dared him to do it. Leroy, out of nowhere, dead silence after a serious chat, just goes, "Come on, Stewie Hooey!" and lifts his shirt up like it's spring break. Everyone lost it. Everyone lost it. The tough teacher was like, "Right, Leroy, come with me." Everyone else was talking about it for days. Schoolyard legend goes down in history. 131060, what's the best thing that happened at your school? Did you have a schoolyard legend like Leroy or this bloke that's ordered the stripper? We'll get to your calls next.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey, all around Australia.
Born this way, some people are. They're just born to create trouble, to be pranksters, to sacrifice themselves and any possible future of having a high education and respected by their teachers just to please very temporary, attention-poor students for a couple of minutes, laughing at some sort of prank or zany idea that goes down in school history. Some guy, very recently in the past 24 hours, thought he'd have a laugh by hiring a stripper to come to the school. Obviously getting a few pats on the backs and a couple more friend requests from some of the girls in his grade. We had Leroy just busting out a big, "Come on, Stewie Hooey," after being told by the tough teacher that no one could call Stuart Hubert Stewie Hooey anymore. Hats go off. Hats go off. As long as no one gets hurt, honestly, a good schoolyard legend prank is fantastic. Brooke from Taylor's Lake in Victoria. You got a schoolyard legend story?
Oh, so not me. It was my dad.
Great.
He went to a high school and there was this rumour about a woodshop teacher had shoved a compass through a student's hand. And all through high school, everyone was like, "Oh, be really careful of this teacher. You know, he shoved a compass in someone's hand." And 20 years down the track, my dad was telling this story to a bunch of friends he didn't go to school with. And this man turned around and he said, "That was me. He did shove the compass through my hand. Here's the scar." And now my cousins go to this school and that rumour is still being passed around of the woodshop teacher that put a compass in a student's hand.
Is woodshop teacher still there? Is he still teaching at the school?
That I am not sure, but it'd be pretty amazing if he was.
So your dad met the bloke that got the compass in his hand and swears by it. He goes, "Yeah, that was a real thing."
Mm-hmm. It's all fact.
Can you imagine? I mean, what is this, 30 years ago, 20 years ago or something? Can you imagine if that went down these days? It'd be front page news. It'd be front page
guaranteed.
News. They don't stab them like they used to anymore. They really don't. I'd like to follow up, see if that teacher's still there. Can you do a bit of inside sleuthing? We don't have to name names. We can maybe see if that teacher's still got a job. See if he's got any more victims.
I'll look into it.
Thank you. Thanks, Brooke from Taylor's Lake. Dylan from Melbourne on 131060. Schoolyard legend story?
Yeah, mate. Back in year 10, one of my mates called up the owner of the canteen, the front office, and said the people at the canteen had a bomb and they shut down the whole school.
I think we've all lived through a bomb threat in our times, and it's quite exciting when you rock up at school in the morning, like, "Oi, what's everyone doing? What's everyone doing? Bomb threat, bomb threat." And then the rumours go wry, don't they? It's like, "Oh, apparently it exploded in F block. Oh my God, Mr. Morrison, he's got half his arm, like, ripped off his body. It went off. When did he do it? Did he do it, like, in his personal own time, or was there a group of lads around sort of, like, listening in?
No, I think it was just him. He had the day off and he called in around third period and yeah, everyone was under the tables and, yeah, school was over within an hour.
Yeah, nice.
It was a good day for us.
So how did he sort of, did he tell just a couple of close friends? He's like, yeah, you know that bomb threat? That was me, boys. That was me. You're welcome.
Oh, well, they found out, I don't know how, but they found out it was him and, yeah, he got expelled for it. So word got around a campfire pretty quick.
That's a tough one. It's always big news around the schoolyard as well during expelling or a suspending, isn't it? It's always the good gossip.
Yeah.
Nice one. All right, Reedy from Melbourne on 1310.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. You got a schoolyard legend story?
Yeah, mate. I was a little bit of a prick back at school. You know, I didn't really listen too much. I was a little bit of an arse.
Yep.
Bloody, we're in science one time. It was like grade 9 or something like that. Mm. And bloody, the teacher was making these little puff smoky frigging things with bloody, like, sulfur and some other shit. And bloody, so I thought, I'll go for a bloody toilet break, and I ran down to the local bloody, like, the stadium sort of thing at school, and I grabbed a heap of ping pong balls and stopped in off at the bloody cook room on the way back and grabbed a heap of foil, wrapped it all up and come back in, and under the table I lit this massive smoke bomb and smoked out the whole class.
What were you making to start off with?
A smoke bomb? Oh, I don't know what the teacher was making. Like, he was making this bloody thing with, I don't know, it was like some acid shit or something like that, and bloody some sulfur, and they put it together, and it made like this little puff of smoke shit.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought I'd, light the whole class up, mate.
That's so good. And the kids are like, I imagine like the science teacher, he would have been so excited that day. He's like, right, the kids are going to really think I'm cool when I burn this bit of copper and it goes a little blue with a puff of smoke. And you're just like, nah, not buying that, mate. Not buying that.
That was pretty shit, man, So I decided to lighten it up a little bit, Yeah, class dunked for about a week later.
Classic stitch up.
It was good.
Thanks, Reedy. Cassandra from Coburg in Victoria. Schoolyard legend story.
Okay, so a couple years back on Muck Up Day, a kid decided to order about 100 pig's testicles and put them in the school pool.
Yeah.
All the teachers come in and they're just floating around.
You've got to love a guy. He's taken that next level, hasn't he? Because it's one thing.
Absolutely.
It's one thing to talk about a legendary prank. It's one thing to do a prank that doesn't really hurt the financial pocket. But to order 100 pig's testes, how he's transported that through the school grounds, wrapping them up in his room, trying to hide it from his parents. So much has gone on behind the scenes.
Great story, eh?
Fantastic story. Interesting that the pig's testicles have floated as well. I would have always thought they would have sunk to the bottom, but that's good.
Yeah, that's what I thought, to be honest, as well, but you never know. I learn something new every day, boys. Ain't that right?
Who had to fish them out? How'd they get rid of them in the end? Whose job was that?
Oh, I honestly couldn't tell you.
I'm just imagining some ridiculously pissed off PE teacher who doesn't have a period, like, right, sorry, Mr. Evans.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go get your fishing net.
Yeah, I reckon it was Mr. Reed, to be honest.
Oh, Mr. Reed.
Good old Reedy.
Good old Reedy. Yeah, he would have scooped him up, taken a couple home for himself, teabagged his chin with some pick. Oh, gross, sorry. No.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
How good's this show? Really getting into it. Married at First Sight, and you'll be well aware of the relationship expert, the big dog. Love is in the air with this. Get around him. John Aiken. In the house.
It's good to be on.
I'd imagine that would feel quite a confidence boost.
Yeah, look, I'm feeling good after that intro. And the show certainly had plenty to talk about, that's for sure.
Oh, my God, so much going on. John, you are the relationship expert. You like to boil these relationships down. You smell any sort of mistakes early on in the process? You think, uh-oh, I've really fudged this one up. These guys are toast. Well, or how do you reckon it's all going so far?
Well, a couple of them are going hot and heavy, and it's great to see. The likes of Sarah and Telv, they really hit it off. But then we've got those other sorts that really are kind of slow burners, Charlene and Patrick. Last night we had the millionaire, Justin, marrying Carly, and, you know, there's a little awkwardness there which makes me worry. And I think also Joe and Sean early on, you know, a lot of panic in his face, which made me think maybe this isn't going to get over the line.
How's the return of John from last season? He's going all right, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's loved up straight away. I mean, we wanted him back. Yeah. We had a really good feel about the person that we matched him with. Mm. And sure enough, they've hit it off really well. So hopefully throughout the experiment, you're going to see these guys really, grow as a couple.
Yeah, for sure. You are the relationship expert, and we spoke a couple of weeks ago to your mate, Trisha Stratford, as well. We had a lot of fun with her. I've purposely held fire on some of these questions, and we've had people ferociously messaging us, calling up, leaving anonymous messages, saying, "Oi, get me on with John. Get me on with the big dog. I've got a question for him." I said, "Leave your messages. We'll get to them. We'll get to them." So if it's all right, we've got a couple of listeners who'd love you to
answer. Let's have a crack at these.
Try your hardest. All right. So this guy, he's under 18. He'd like to remain anonymous. He's still probably going through that awkward puberty stage, but he said, "Any tips on getting out of the friend zone?"
Well, I mean, I think ultimately you've got to, put your foot forward and take it to the next level. There's no point in sort of being in that limbo for a long period of time. So you've got to literally take a deep breath and say, look, I got feelings here. Can we take it to another level? Now, it might mean you lose this person as a friend, but it's well worth doing, because if they're into you as much as you're into them, you get the fruits of the relationship.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Always dive into the deep end when it comes to girls.
Yeah, I reckon.
14-year-old
boy. I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon as well. No use waiting, just dipping your toe in the shallow end, trying to chase her down to the deep. Excuse me, I'm coming for you. By then, your shorts are wet and you've got that awkward bit on your waist where you're like, oh, it's a bit chilly now. what about this one? This is another chick. She'd like to remain anonymous. Is it too weird to ask a stranger out whilst in public these days? Because I think is getting a bad rap. I guess with Tinder and Plenty of Fish and all the apps going on, it seems that it's a distant memory to sort of see someone whilst you're waiting for your coffee who catches your eye. Is it still okay to maybe try asking, hey, I really like the look of you?
Absolutely. I would say don't hold back anytime, anywhere. If you like the look of someone, if there's a bit of chemistry there, I would jump in, because you never know what happens, but everybody now is on those different online apps. People expect you to ask them out or show that you're keen. So whether you're a man or woman, I say make the first move and jump in.
Yeah, lovely. All right. What are your thoughts on open relationships? You obviously deal with singles and couples who go through tough times. Do you hear that a lot, that maybe if you branch out and whilst you've still got that strong core and romance with one partner, but you maybe when the cat's away, the mouse goes out and has a little play. What are your thoughts on that?
Look, I'm not a big fan. I've seen couples try to do it, have these open relationships, and ultimately it doesn't tend to work very well, because people start to have feelings for partners outside of the relationship, and then jealousy comes into it, and then it goes horribly pear-shaped. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you're in a relationship, you're probably best to make it simple and stay sleeping and having sex with just one person.
Remain monogamous. John Aiken knows firsthand. He tried to branch out, and because of his chiseled jaw, all the ladies fell in love with him, and it became even more complicated than the first place. Best way to bring up an awkward fetish with a partner if you've been with them for a while.
Ooh, that's a cracker, isn't it? Mm. Well, you probably want to do it outside of the bedroom, because it may get a little awkward, with the lights down and the candles on. But just, when you see a moment and you're kind of sharing and talking about some of your interests and, probably start generally sexually, this is what I'm kind of into, and then move into, well, have you got any sort of special interests? And then sort of feel it out, because you're going to know fairly quickly whether this person's repulsed by it or is kind of curious.
Yeah, right.
So start general in the world of and the area of sex, what you've liked, and then move into some of the keen interests, and then just see what that person does. Keep an open mind and say to them, what about you? Is there anything that you've got that I could perhaps delve into? But keep in mind that if someone's absolutely, no, I'm not into that, then you're probably going to have to shut that down and let that go.
When you say keep it out of the bedroom, do you mean as in broach the topic whilst you're like out of the cafe or something?
Yeah. You probably don't want to be doing it when you've got the massage oils out and the romance, the candle lit around the bedroom. You want to probably just bring it up in a bit more of a lighter setting, so it's not too, serious and it throws the person. Start general in terms of your sexual interests and then move into more specifics.
Yeah, I see. I see. Yep. At a cafe.
You're taking notes on this one.
How's your coffee? How are the eggs, Benny? Can you electrocute my nipples? Yes, perfect. Should you tell a new partner how many people you've slept with?
Yes.
Yeah?
Ultimately, yeah. Yeah, you want to do that, but you don't need to get into that straight away.
No.
You know, because that sort of stuff can scare people away. But ultimately, you know, as you get to know someone and you start talking about, you know, backgrounds, exes, you know, the sort of sex you've been having, at some stage that question's going to come up. And the more that you're getting along, the more you've got some trust with someone, the less that's going to frighten them off, you know. And there's no particularly right or wrong number. Everyone's going to have a different background.
Final one, big dog. We're trying to get this chick on the show in the near future, but we'll read it to you now. This is what we received. She said, what do you do when you've fallen in love with an American and it's only been a week and you've flown up to the Gold Coast to see him, you've had a great time, but you're not sure whether to move to California and quit your life or not?
I love this. I tell you what, there's a TV show in this, You and I. Questions about love. Here we go. Hold your horses. I would slow down. Do not jump to California. I would absolutely pump the brakes because this is moving way too fast. And your brain goes on to overdrive in these sort of situations. You think, oh, I've met the one, they're amazing. And they are not.
Yes.
They have flaws. You don't know them. Don't be moving countries. I would say have a long-distance relationship for 6 months. Get to know them. Bit of Skype.
Mm.
And then take it slow. Make your move.
People tend to over-romanticise things, don't they? Sometimes they sort of you give them an inch and they take a mile. And they sort of it's
yeah,
all
right.
So rosy, isn't it? And they think, yeah. No, this is what could save me.
Sex in there.
Yeah.
You know, if she's having amazing, mind-blowing sex, you know, the whole thing is just too good to be true. And she just needs to, probably her best friend just needs to give her a bit of a shake and say, listen, this is not a movie. Long distance relationship, 6 to 12 months, and then move over because it's too dangerous.
Yeah, the sex might be mind blowing in the first week, but you fast forward 10 years, his penis will shrivel up like some sort of pistachio that's been left in the bath for too long. Yeah, it's all too good to be true. John Aiken, thank you so much. The handsome man on Married at First Sight, making Dr. Chris Brown look like a jet lagged soft too. Far out. That chisel jaw. Thanks, dude. Thanks, heaps.
Hey, real pleasure. We'll speak again soon.
Cricket on tonight, but Married at First Sight back on Thursday night on Channel 9.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey all around Australia.
13, 10, 60. Oh, yes, I am. So we should be sexual. Oh, I always am. I'm not always. Usually need an hour or two to recharge the batteries. That's just me. Keen to open up this to everyone. We already just broached on it just before with John Aiken, the relationship expert from Married at First Sight, asking, should you tell your partner your number? Like how many people that you slept with in the past? Because it usually comes up in a relationship, whether it's in the first couple of days or whether it's a couple of months or years down the track. At some point, that time is coming. If you're in a relationship right now and you're thinking, well, I haven't had that chat. Oh, it's coming. It's coming, madam or buddy. It is coming. When I asked John Aiken just before, I said, should you tell your partner how many people you slept with? This is what he said.
Yes.
I mean, you could hear it in his voice, couldn't you? You know when he drops it down an octave and goes all husky.
Yes.
Oh, yes. He was a firm yes. I reckon I'm a firm yes as well. Always awkward, though, isn't it? When you chat with your partner and you have, all right, so how many people have you slept with? And 131060, by the way, do you tell your new squeeze your number or not? Always funny when one of you is like a big game hunter with a big number and the other one's like two climaxes past a virgin. You're like, uh-oh. The scales are out of balance here. Even more, I don't think this is sexist in saying, even more awkward if the guy is the two squirts past a virgin and the girl's the big game hunter. I mean, more power to you, ladies. If you're a big game hunter and you've got a big number, that's fine. I'd imagine that would be quite demasculating for a man to feel like he's only shed the surface and you feel like he's very inexperienced as compared to you. Have you had the chat with your partner in the past on 131060 about telling your new squeezy number? Do you tell the truth? That's another bit that we could open up. Do you say the right number?
Do you wait for them to say first and then you do some quick maths and you're like, all right, I'll just simmer around theirs as well? Or do you make a deal that you both got to say it at the same time and then one says 3 and one says 103? You're like, sorry. 131060, keen to get your thoughts right around the country. Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey. Do you tell your new squeeze your number?
Yes.
John Aiken, you go away. Just leave now, mate.
Yes.
All right, buddy. Get your calls on the air next.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
We are talking with John Aiken.
Yes.
Just that bit, though. Keen to get your thoughts on this.
I'm feeling sexual.
It's all sexual.
So we should be sexual.
I mean, we're all sexual beings, guys. There's no taboo on this show and there's nothing to be afraid or ashamed of. Keen to get to the bottom. Do you tell your partner your number? You got a new squeeze. Do you let them know your sexual history? How many times you done the no pants dance? John Aiken, an overwhelming yes.
Yes.
Yes. You could hear it. You could hear it in his voice. That brought him so much joy. I'm a firm believer as well. You don't even have to get like real specific. Like, I don't mind saying real specifics. I'll usually round it up to the 10, even though I know my exact number because I keep a little journal. Even though I try and disguise that fact. I'm like, oh yeah. Like, say the number. Say the number was 64. I'd be like, oh yeah, I think about 60. I know very well it's 64, but it's all in the delivery. It's all in the delivery. 102, by the way, guys. Hashtag 102 women can't be wrong. Here we go. First one, Scott from Melton on 131060. What do you reckon?
Hello, Danny. How are you this morning?
Yeah, always good, mate. Always good. This is my midday. I've had two coffees. I've had a nice substantial breakfast at 8 p.m. tonight, and I'm feeling good.
Perfect. I just finished work.
5:30.
Yeah, I've got to be careful when I say this because my partner actually listens to you as well, and she's on her way home as well because we both work together.
Oh, she'll know. She'll know. Scott from Melton.
But I can count on one hand how many people I've slept in with. And when I spoke to her, I said, how many have you slept with? And she said, and I went, oh, God, I'm in trouble now.
Oh, no. So it was considerably more than your number, which is now clearly between 1 and 5.
Yeah, pretty much. But you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many people they've slept with.
No, that's right.
Their past is the past.
Yep, for sure.
And who cares? Who gives a crap?
For sure. How did it make you feel straight away? Because I imagine you're at peace with this now. But sometimes, no matter how in the rights it is for people to sleep with as many people as they want, sometimes when you first hear that news, it can rock you back a little bit. And because your number is quite low, Scott from Melton, did it make you feel any feelings that you maybe didn't want to feel?
No, definitely did. But then I thought to myself, you know, as I said, the past is the past. And I thought, you know what? Doesn't matter who she is. That's all, who she was in the past. And now she's my partner.
Yeah,
and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Now she's got the big dog Scott in her life. No need. Draw a black line through the number. Scotty's here to stay.
That's it, mate.
Sean from Lithgow on 131060. Yeah. Good mate. Do you have the chat with people?
Yeah, I've had the chat with my wife. I actually met my wife through her ex-partner, and that was her one and only partner before me.
Oh, wow. Untouched. Untouched goodness from Sean. Well, that's good.
And then I've had about 5.
Okay. Oh, so you're both quite tame, but I reckon yous two would let loose. I reckon yous have learned a few things off each other now, hey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. It's good. It's good when a couple can combine their number and it still fits on two hands. That's always good gear.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Zach from Victoria, 131060. Do you divulge your number to your new squeeze?
Yeah, I did, mate.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit big, bit small, medium, stock standard, average, mean, mode, median. Talk to me numbers, Zachary.
I don't know. I stopped counting at about 105.
Oh, you dirty dog. You dirty dog. Stop counting at 105. Why would you stop? If you've gone that far, you've obviously put a lot of effort into making sure that the number never gets out of reach. Why would you stop there? You may as well keep going.
No, because I found the one that I was happy to settle down with.
Oh, yes. Forgot about that. Forgot that sex wasn't just an infinite number spiralling off into the stratosphere. At some point, it does have to stop. Yeah, I get it. Okay, yeah, 105. So she wasn't happy with that.
Nah, she wasn't.
No. What would, in her perfect world, what would the right number be for someone like your partner? What, 1, 5, 10, 30?
Oh, she probably would have thought if I was at, say, maybe 8 or 9 would have been
Yeah.
Happy?
Yeah. You can also always tell with a partner as well that sometimes they'll be quite surprised at how much of a rooster you were. Like, they'll look at you and be like, oh, yeah. They're probably, like, gossiping with the girlfriends. Like, oh, yeah, I'd imagine him to be, like, within the 10s or 20s. And then you see the 105 and their eyes light up a bit and their nostrils start flaring up. You're like, whoa, all right, settle down. Have a diazepam. It's all right. I'm a bit of a rooster.
Deal with it, babes.
I'm glad you're happy now, though. I'm glad you're happy. That's good stuff. And isn't it true, a little disclaimer, isn't it true, it is so much more quality over quantity, because the best sex is definitely with those people that you've built that relationship with and,
oh,
you know, like, spent years with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Look at us getting all soft. Oh, Zachary. Liz from Tasmania, 131060. I'm glad that a chick's called up. What's going on?
Well, I think that it's very important in this day and age to always disclose an honest-ish number, so that you can both be aware of the history. But you've got to remember what American Pie 2 taught us all, which is whatever a man says, you have to divide it by 3, and whatever a woman says, you have to times it by 3.
Now, I like this rule in theory. I really do. But the fact that I really don't times my number by 3 makes me question if women really do divide their number by 3.
Oh, it's so divided by 3.
All right. So how many people have you slept with?
Oh, no, I'm not... Oh, we'll just say a few. But
a few times is, 3. Also, 7.
Admitted,
she's horny.
No,
I'm joking.
You've admitted that you've kept a journal with it. So we're talking about the men that don't keep the journal with the names all written down and a score next to it. We're talking about the men that just say, oh, yeah, it's like 30, when what they actually mean is that it's 10 and one of them was one woman twice. So.
Interesting. It's not a bad reason. The thing is, the reason why I keep my number, I'm actually quite surprised, because I would imagine if I'd never kept track of it, I would have estimated a lesser number than what it is. The list is there. It's there to stay. It's evidence. It's set in concrete. But if someone asked me and I never had kept a list, I would probably say less than what it was. So,
yeah,
so riddle me that one, Lizzie.
To the exact number.
Yeah, it is.
So if you told me, if you said, oh, yeah, it's 12, I'd be like, oh, yeah, like, that's all right. But when you can say it's 64, if you can tell me the dates as well, I'm leaving.
All right. Guess you better leave then, Lizzie.
Uh-oh.
No, so you don't forget any of them. So you don't forget, you remember it. You can look back on the years. It's like a journal, like a nice thing to look back.
Yeah, sometimes you want to forget,
kids.
Though.
You never want to forget. You never
I wonder how many of those women have a journal with your name in it.
Oh.
Good
half a dozen, I'd say.
They're all just trying to forget about you.
Shots fired by the producer.